This is BPN Radio, your 24-hour internet prayer station with Dale Gentry and friends, calling America to pray, a member of the Breakout Prayer Network. Let's pray, America.
It's time to pray, America. It's time to pray for change. Here's your Hour of Power prayer leader, Dale Gentry.
Hey, thank you very much, and good Wednesday morning, everybody. Good to have you listening here on BPNRadio.com, your 24-hour internet prayer station. Around the clock we pray and around the globe. Good to have you here on this Wednesday, broadcasting live from our studios in Austin, Texas. Now in our fourth year of programming here on BPNRadio.com, keeping the fire burning on the altar, keeping the watch of the Lord, according to 2 Chronicles 23:6, which says, "And all the people shall keep the watch of the Lord." Jesus himself told us to watch and pray. So here we are at Prayer Central, celebrating 51 years in the ministry. Remember, this program will be replayed this afternoon at 2 o'clock, 5 o'clock, and 10 o'clock here on BPNRadio.com. I want to welcome all of the new churches and cities that are joining us here on the Breakout Prayer Network. We have over 1,200 churches now that are members of the Breakout Prayer Network. And we can tell you a little bit later on how you can be a part. It's going to be a great day. This is the Gambling Special program. We'll also have a live report from Mount Carmel in Israel, as well as a report from Africa. It's going to be a great day here on BPNRadio.com and the Wednesday Watch. Let's pray, America. Well, Father, we just pray for everyone that is listening today here on BPNRadio.com. And Tommy Thomas, my guest today, also Debbie from Israel is on today, Leah Peters from Africa. It's going to be an amazing day here on BPN Radio, here on the Wednesday Watch on BPNRadio.com. So here we go, everybody.
You got to know when to hold up, know when to fold up, know when to walk away, and know when to run. You never count your money when you're sitting at the table. There'll be time enough for counting when the dealing's done.
Okay, this is a gambling special here on BPNRadio.com. A little bit of Kenny Rogers there. And most of you know that the U.S. Supreme Court has freed states to legalize gambling on individual sporting events, unleashing a race to attract billions of dollars in wagers and heralding a new era for the nation's sports leagues. The justices on Monday struck down the federal law that had barred single-game gambling in most of the country, saying it unconstitutionally forced states to maintain their prohibitions. Nevada has been the only state with legal single-game wagering. Sports gambling could begin in a matter of weeks in casinos and racetracks all across America. Wow, unbelievable how we have arrived at this place. It's good to have with me today a friend of mine for a long time, Tommy Thomas, and he has been a wonderful friend for many years. And Tommy is a former gambler and the son of Titanic Thompson, and Tommy has been delivered from gambling, but is a well-known, the son of the legendary Titanic Thompson, who was a world-class professional gambler for over 30 years until God called his bluff. It's good to have Tommy from Fort Worth, Texas. Good to have you on today, Tommy.
Hey, Dale, thank you so much. It was so good seeing you at Calvary last weekend on the celebration of 23 years of the Prayer Tower.
Yeah, church has been praying every day for 23 years. And I had the amazing privilege and opportunity to help start that prayer chain, and I know that is the answer for our nation, prayer. So it's all about, we have a lot of different things to pray about here on BPNRadio.com as well, and today we're praying concerning the gambling industry. How big is the gambling industry in America, Tommy?
Well, Dale, it's unbelievable how many people gamble every year. I mean, it's up in the billions, but when it comes to sports betting and all, I mean, 150 million people to 2 million, 200 million people were already doing that illegally with bookmakers. Mm. So now New Jersey got all excited, wanting to bring in some revenue to subsidize the budget for the state. So they pushed it to the Supreme Court, and now it's legal, and there's probably 7-8 states that can do it, and there'll be more added to it as they put it together. Mm. But the real problem there is, even though it becomes illegal with the federal government where the states can have this and legally do it, it'll be so easy for everyone and sporting events and all, you'll actually get to where you have an app on your phone and click it, and you can make a bet while you're watching the game at the sporting events.
Wow.
I mean, teenagers everywhere have credit cards and all. They'll be able to bet on sports more than they are now. And actually, sporting, everybody loves sporting events, but the reason they had the Protection Act years ago to stop that from happening like 31 years ago was they wanted to keep sporting events exciting and more about the sporting event instead of the gambling and winning or losing where people get upset in the middle of it or excited because of the money instead of the team they're pulling for.
It's amazing. I heard that Americans are placing $150 billion a year in illegal sports bets. That's about right.
$150 million. That's right.
$150 billion.
$150 billion.
Yeah. What is gambling doing to our nation, Tommy? I mean, you've been a professional gambler. You were a professional gambler for many years. Your father was. What has that done to this nation? I believe it all started, probably a lot of it started in churches with bingo, gambling on bingo, and then it just.
Well, bingo kind of started it off, and then it went from bingo to the lottery. That kind of opened the door a little bit more, and then when they had casinos on riverboats and all in different parts of the country, that kind of knocked the door off the hinges. Boy, I mean, people could just come in casinos without going to Vegas or Atlantic City, and it made it more available. And so the more available gambling is, for instance, you can go to a 7-Eleven and get your gasoline, walk in, they have scratch-offs and lottery tickets and all.
Yeah.
People that would never have gambled before, now it's everywhere, and it's so tempting that they get into that. They fall into that trap thinking, well, I'll just try it once.
What leads
to more and again.
Yeah. So what has gambling done to our nation, Tommy?
Well, our nation, first of all, our government, its main responsibility is for the welfare of its citizens. And if you know that when casinos and gambling comes in, Indian reservations, wherever it is, it takes money out of our economy. It causes people to have addictions and become pathological gamblers that can't help themselves. All of a sudden, the government's relying on gambling, which used to be, and the people that were involved in gambling was the syndicate and the mobs. Now they call it gaming. They've cleaned it up, and it's like it's all right for everybody.
Is gambling addictive? Is that addictive?
It's addictive, progressive, and dangerous. Once you start gambling and you become addicted to it, what happens is it's progressive because let's just say you go in and you're having fun and you're betting $5 a time on a hand of blackjack. And after you do that for a while, all of a sudden you want to bet $50 and you find out it's more exciting to bet $50.
Mm-hmm.
So now it's progressive, and it's not so much about winning and losing for a person that's addicted to gambling. It's about the high and the rush and the excitement of the bet. So the more you bet, the more exciting it is until it becomes dangerous. And what happens is, people do life of crime. They steal from their friends. They steal their credit cards. They find ways from insurance scams. Whatever it takes to get money to keep that high going, they'll gravitate toward that instead of godly principles and working and effort. They try to take shortcuts and, you know.
Mm-hmm. How did you get started in gambling?
Well, see, I was never addicted to gambling. It was strictly a business. Just like a casino's a business, you know, they have the odds in their favor. That's what I did, but I was a card mechanic, a card cheater. And when I grew up, my dad left when I was 4 years old. My dad, that being the famous gambler, and they wrote about him in Golf Digest, Sports Illustrated. He's one of the great golfers in the world. And I would read those stories because he never called or came back. I never heard from him. And my fantasy growing up was that one day I'll become a gambler and so good at it, I'll go meet Dad and he'll love me. Well, the Bible says he who chases fantasies lacks wisdom. Well, I didn't figure that out till I was 50 years old. But I began to practice with a deck of cards at 14 with books on magic. And my dad, he killed five different men that tried to rob him at different times. He was a professional shooter, and he'd act like he'd stumble and come up. And so he would, I felt like, you know, if you're going to go out and be a card mechanic and win all this millions of dollars off people, you got to be able to shoot and have a fast draw. So I started practicing when I was 14. And finally, I'm getting ready to go meet my dad. I go to San Antonio from Indiana. I'm driving an XK150 Jaguar convertible. Pulled up to meet Dad, and there he was. He said, "Who are you?" I said, "I'm your son." He said, "What do you do?" I said, "I'm a gambler just like you." Well, I wasn't just like my dad. He was a professional at everything, and I could just do a few things. But the difference is all the top card mechanics and cheaters came through the scene because of who he was. He was 71 years old when I met him. I was 18. His wife was 24, and my little half-brother was 4. So I met Dad. All these people came through. And I learned all their tricks, practiced 6-8 hours a day, put mirrors up around the table, holding out cards, switching the deck, doing all these different things, and actually went on to become one of the best card mechanics in the business around the world.
Wow. And how did you...
I cheated people out of millions.
Oh, wow. So how did you get free of that, Tommy?
Okay, well, after doing all that, all those years, for 32 years, I'm 50 years old, and I've got 4 Harleys, a boat, nice house, swimming pool, all the money, women, all that kind of stuff. But I said, and cocaine, I did all that kind of crazy stuff there. When you got a lot of money and you don't have any purpose in your life, you look to fill it, that emptiness, with the wrong kind of stuff. But I woke up early one morning, I was 50, I looked in the mirror, and I said, "God, I've been taken from people my whole life. If I die, I want somebody to remember me for something besides taking from people. I want to give something back." And 2 weeks later, I'm getting a haircut. There was a lady in there. It was a prophet of God. Her name was Margaret Mobley. She told my barber some things, and my barber ran back and said, "That lady said you're a professional gambler. You make a lot of money, have a lot of nice things, got a big heart. And God's got you on a long leash, and you're not all that happy." Well, that was me. Mm-hmm. But no one ever said anything about me like that that didn't know me before. Mm-hmm. I walked up and I said, "Well, it doesn't get any better than a long leash, does it, lady?" And she didn't smile. 2 weeks later, night before Easter, 24 years ago, I got a message. "God's got you on a short leash. The devil's made a bet on your soul, and God has covered the bet." I said, "Where do you go to church?" "Went to church. After church, we went to lunch." I said, "What are you trying to tell me, lady?" She said, "When you were a teenager, God called you to be an evangelist, and everything in your life has led up that end. You see, I walked an aisle at 18, but didn't want to follow God. 2 years later, I married a girl, got divorced, unhappy, brokenhearted. I heard a voice say, 'Go to the Lutheran church where you got married at 1 o'clock in the morning.' Went to the church. It wasn't locked. Opened the door, walked in, put the Bible on the podium, and began to read all night from the book of John. I walked out of there and said, 'God, I don't like school. I'm not going into ministry.' And that's when God was calling me to preach, and this lady knew that."
Wow.
And my life suddenly changed, because when she told me those words, it's like you took a pitcher of hot oil, and it just went down inside me. And I saw Jesus on the cross, and he was dying for me. He died personally for me. And not only that, God had a plan for my life, and that's what was always missing. I felt empty. And for the first time, I felt like I had a purpose and a plan, and the God of the universe had that waiting for Tommy. All he had to do was stand before that mirror and said, "God, I want to give something back." First time in 32 years I ever said that.
It's amazing. It's amazing testimony. So you were set free at that time.
Well, now I'm still gambling a little bit at that time. That was the way I made my living. But it's amazing what happened, because when people would call, I got so excited about Jesus, and I was so good. People would call, pay for my plane ticket, I'd fly in, win $20,000 or $30,000, come back home. And so whenever they'd call, that's what I'd do. But now when they called, I'd say, "Hey, I don't do that anymore. Let me tell you about Jesus." Click, they'd hang the phone right up. But a bookmaker friend of mine in Houston called me. You know what he did? He said, "Tommy, we can win $50,000 down here this weekend playing with lawyers and people." So instead of just saying, hey, I don't do that anymore, Dale, here's what happened. It was a Thursday, and I said, let me think about it. I'll call you back before the weekend. I opened the door for the devil to get his foot in the door. All of a sudden, I started talking to God. I said, you know what, God, I've heard about that tithing. I don't know much about it, but if I went down there and won $50,000, you know, I could get half of it to you, God. I started wheeling and dealing with God, trying to justify going to win that money. And then I heard that same voice that said, go to that Lutheran church. That voice said, go to Calvary Cathedral International. Wow. That's the only church I knew on Thursday that had a service. So on there, I went down to Fort Worth, Texas, got there a little bit early and had some Mexican food about 6 o'clock. Then I went to church. But when I sat down to order my Mexican food, there were a group of women, 5 of them, sitting at a table behind me. And one of the lady, I was wearing a Harley vest. She said, I'm going to marry a man that has a Harley. She saw the vest, and she was being cute. I turned around and waved, but one of my problems has always been women, so I quickly turned back around. I didn't want to give any place to that. And then I heard the Lord say, I want you to share that testimony I gave you with these women. I said, they're drinking. It's happy hour, Lord. They don't want to hear that. And then a black woman sitting with him said something about the Lord. And I turned around. I said, did I hear you say something about the Lord? She said, yes, I did. You have a testimony you want to share? All I can tell you is I pulled my chair up, and when I went from my table to that table, I drew a line in the sand, and I said, God, if your plan is this, so if you've got a plan and you tell me something and it happens just like this, I know you're in control of my life, and I will never gamble again. And then I went to Calvary Cathedral. A guy named Dale Gentry, who I'd never met before, was up there preaching. The power of God was filled in that room. People passed out on the floor under the anointing of God. He preached a message, and that message was, God's calling people to preach the gospel that you never dreamed you'd hear preaching the gospel from every walk of life. I just want you to know that's the first time I ever heard you preach. I came home. I took my 2 Fox Terriers. I put them on the couch, Jake and Jill. I opened my Bible, and I went to preaching the gospel for the first time.
Oh, that's an amazing story, Tommy. And you started preaching to your dogs. Is that right?
Yes, sir. And I'm telling you, it wasn't but 4 months later that the doors opened to Joyce Green and go to all the big men's prisons in southern Texas down there.
Wow.
She called me up. She heard a testimony tape and said, I want you to go into the prisons with me. You know the real Jesus. Milton Green was her husband. And I went in Christmas Day and preached in a maximum security prison. That was 24 years ago. And I've been preaching every month doing Saturday and Sunday services at maximum security prisons for 24 years, even before I went to Bible school.
Wow. I was at one of those prisons near Rosenberg ministering last week. That's amazing.
Isn't it awesome in prisons? They're so hungry for the word and people who are real.
I know. I know they are. I don't know.
They just want to hear the truth. They want to hear truth.
I had an amazing time. I gave about 50 of those guys a prophecy last Thursday. But God has used you in so many, many ways. Tommy, and I know you've been on so many major television stations. You've shared your testimony in so many, many ways, trying to help people get free from the gambling addictions and warning them about the dangers. And so many teenagers now are involved. And I heard recently that,
Dale, for every grown-up person that gets addicted to gambling, 2.5 teens become addicted. Teenagers is the fastest-growing addiction group in gambling. It's amazing how they get so hooked on the Internet gambling. It's destroying our young people. 1 out of 5 commit to it that are really addicted attempt suicide once in their life. I mean, the statistics are unbelievable for teens and what's going on. But, you know, when you talk about Las Vegas and all the things that are going on and how legalized gambling is a good thing to subsidize the governments and all, it doesn't bring that much money in to subsidize them. They still have problems.
Mm-hmm.
But in Vegas, suicide's number one. Divorce is number one. Women killed by men is number one. Gambling addiction, number one. Bankruptcy, number 3. I mean, this is serious stuff when you start legalizing gambling for people to get caught up in it that would never have been exposed to it. If they put a casino in your area and there's 1 million people who live in that town, 10% more people, when that casino opens up, will become addicted or pathological gamblers, and it would never have happened if they hadn't put that casino in there.
And what happens when a person gets addicted to gambling? What are some of the consequences, Tommy?
Well, I'm going to tell you, just a quick example. I took a young lady to Arlington and had a drinking problem and all. I'm sitting out there waiting, and there's a man sitting next to me. And I said, how are you? Fine. And he said, well, I'm not really fine. He said, Tommy, I live in Houston. And he just started volunteering to tell me this. He said, you know, I started out small, but then I got this gambling addiction. I want you to know right now, Tommy, that I had a big, beautiful home, a lovely wife, two children, a nice automobile, a great job. I've lost every bit of it when I started gambling.
Mm.
And I tell people, Dale, if there's a chance, and you need to tell your kids, if there's any chance in the world that you can become an addict to gambling or alcohol or anything, it would be so nice if you could just show them a picture of their wife and their kids and their home and everything. If you make that first bet and you're addicted to it, this is what it can cost you. But people don't think about that. They think, oh, it's fun or exciting. It looks like people are having fun. But, man, it destroys so many people because it's a hidden disease. A lady called our TV show we had one time. She's like 65 years old. And she said, I have a real gambling problem, but I'm embarrassed to tell anybody. My husband's in a wheelchair, and in the middle of the night, I go down to the casino 20 miles away and take our credit cards and play the slot machines, which is the main support system for all casinos or the slot machines, and say, I've lost our life savings doing that, and I don't know what to do now. I'm afraid to tell him. I said, do you have a pastor? Oh, but I would be so embarrassed to tell my pastor that. I said, lady, you got to get to somebody and talk to people and get real and let them help you get through this. They have what you call Gammon. It's a program that helps with families and all work through this. But you can't be a loner. You can't think you can just deal with this on your own. Now, you can get in the Bible and replace what's going on with scriptures and realize that God's got a better plan and a better way for you. It's not taking shortcuts. You know, and the gambling is a serious problem because of lust and greed and coveting. Mm-hmm. And that's not God's plan for us.
Right.
God's is work and be a part of society and be involved in things that grow, corporations, company, the market, different things that are productive. Mm-hmm. Gambling is just taking. You're coveting and wanting what other people have, and you're not working for it.
Mm-hmm. Tell me how people can know if they have the gambling addiction. Now, you know, if you have an alcohol addiction, all you think about is another drink. Or if you have a drug addiction, you just think about another high and what have you. How does it affect people that are gambling? How do they know that they're addicted?
Okay, well, for example, let's just say you have a teenager, a daughter or a son. And you see them getting nervous around the time the football games are playing and all, mm-hmm. there's a good chance they're betting on sports. If you see credit card money disappearing or they're working lots of hours instead of the normal hours they'd work, maybe they need that money to pay off gambling debts. But when you find yourself, that pulls on you, that tug pulls on you, and you all of a sudden you find yourself driving to that casino or betting on the sports and all, you always tell yourself, the next bet, I'm going to get even, or I'm going to make all this money, and I'll be able to do all this. But the devil's biggest lie is the next wager you make is going to change everything. You'll mm-hmm. start winning all your money back, mm-hmm. and you'll have all this you need and want and everything. But that's a lie from the enemy, because the more you gamble, the chances of you winning are less and less. And if you don't take the money that you have and you gamble it away, and you see yourself losing that money, and you realize, you know what? It's more blessed to give than it is to take. And if I had that money, maybe there's somebody I could help. And maybe God would have somebody that he want me to bless or to help somebody that's hungry. So if you have money to gamble and you're gambling it all, it may just seem like it's your money and it's no problem. You don't have a problem. And some people can go gamble and limit themselves and come back and not worry about it. But other people, when they start, they can't stop. It becomes addictive and pathological. And mm-hmm. when you find yourself, when you say, I can't afford to lose this money, and you're gambling again trying to get it anyway, and you see yourself, even though you tell yourself, I'm not going to do that again, but then you're betting on the sports because it's more exciting to you, or you say, oh, I think this team's going to win, and you think that you've outsmarted the bookmakers or the sports people that lay the odds on the games and all. You say, I'm so good I can do that. are playing poker in tournaments, for instance. You might be a good poker player, and so you start playing in tournaments, and you think, hey, I can do this for a living. Well, that's deception. Mm-hmm. And if you gamble on, and you use the money you gamble for yourself and all, instead of working for it and having a good work ethic, you can lose your life savings just overnight.
Yeah. So these Christians that say, well, I'm going to go to Vegas and I'm going to watch some of the shows, and I'm going to take $20. I'm going to buy $20 worth of quarters. And when the $20 of quarters is out, then that's it for me. What do you say to them?
Well, the problem is senior citizens are bored. The number one destination for senior citizens is go bet quarters in the slot machines or the poker machines mm-hmm. in casinos because they're bored. So mm-hmm. they're just playing and playing and playing. It's just like the scratch off at the lottery. You may go down there and you may bet $5 or do the little scratch offs for $5 or $10. But gambling is progressive. And so many times, if you find yourself addictive, then you'll get overboard and you'll start losing everything, and it'll be too late one day. Mm-hmm. But why open the door to start with? There's so many more things we can do for entertainment and fun. And sporting events are great fun, exciting to watch the teams play and all. But now that people are wagering all this money on them, that takes a lot away, in my opinion.
Yeah, I'm heartsick about that, because Gene and I, you know, we love football and basketball. And to think now that some of these guys could be, throwing some of the games because of bets or gambling, it kind of waters everything down. And, I've just watched, for instance, I grew up in Oklahoma, Tommy, and they legalized gambling there on the Indian reservations. They said in order to help the Indian population, order to the tax money would bring relief to the state of Oklahoma. But I've seen now them build casinos all over the Bible Belt. And, I've seen how society has deteriorated. You know, they have a gambling casino not far from where I grew up in Comanche, Oklahoma. I read the other day that the per capita income now in the little town that I grew up in is last year was $13,000. Can you imagine? But the poverty has set in that place where the gambling casino is near. And, it's causing havoc in our nation. And I believe there's something the Christians need to be alert, and no better person than you, Tommy, to talk to them about the consequences of what's going to happen if they start this gambling, if they have the gambling addiction, which eventually could lead to suicide, you say.
Yeah, well, see, yeah, and you reap what you sow. If you know a casino is hurting people and turning half of the people that go into a casino are problem gamblers. The others come and go for whatever, but half of the money taken in is from problem addicted gamblers that can't help themselves. And if you know that business is doing that to people and you just want to go play and be a part of it like it's not hurting all those people, that's not good.
Right.
That's not good.
No.
And people are people.
Mm-hmm.
Hello?
Yeah, I know. Tommy, are you shocked or surprised that the U.S. Supreme Court has freed states to legalize gambling on individual sporting events here in this nation? I mean, we supposedly have a conservative Supreme Court now. What is your response to that?
I'm really surprised that the Supreme Court, with Trump's nominee and all now, that it would ever go that way. But I can tell you, the lobbyists and the amount of money put in behind the lobbyists to get these laws changed and passed, when it started with casinos, not on the rivers anymore, they can just put them in on the land, mm-hmm. and it began to spread across America. And the excuse is, the government says, well, we're subsidizing our governments. We yeah. need that money. We don't have enough income coming in mm-hmm. on our budget. And they're justifying that by taking all this money out of our society. When they opened the first one in Mississippi, I knew a guy that put the riverboat down there. They gambled. His income was $800 million that first year. You know that $800 million came out of that society from those people and everything, and mm-hmm. it doesn't go back in with the businesses and the shopping and all. The pawn shops make plenty of money, but the other businesses don't thrive because people are putting all their money in casinos, and the people that own the casinos, mm-hmm. they're not putting it back out in society.
No.
They're taking that money and putting it offshore, whatever they're doing with it. But they're taking in hundreds of billions of dollars that doesn't revolve back into society.
Mm-hmm.
That hurts everybody.
Sure does. So why do you think 53% of Americans approve of gambling? That's more than half of our society.
Gambling has always been around, and people are excited about gambling. They think it's fun and exciting. And like I say, a lot of people can do it without hurting themselves. But the problem is, if you go gamble and your kids see you do it, then they think it's all right, mm-hmm. and they could have a problem.
Yeah,
it escalates so many times. But people, Las Vegas now, the hotels, they entertain the families. Mm-hmm. While your kids are out there in the swimming pool, you're in the casino.
Mm-hmm.
And when you go to see the shows at night, you walk out, all of a sudden, all these people are having fun, and all the tables are blackjack and all. And you're walking out there and say, boy, I want to get in there. I want to have some fun, too. So people are gravitated toward it because it's no longer what it used to be in the days of the mob and all.
Mm-hmm.
It's no longer the rackets. It's gaming.
Mm-hmm.
It's fun. It's entertainment. So people gravitate toward it. They like it.
It's Las Vegas is a dangerous place. What tell me about what do parents do to check on their sons and daughters to see if they're involved in gambling? How do they watch over that situation, and what do they do if they see
the first thing you got to do is protect the internet. You got to have a relationship with your kids. See, kids go off on their own. You don't have family dinner anymore. They're out texting their friends all the time. They're out doing the iPads and all, and they're involved in so many things. They're not really connected closely to the family like it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to be a little bold and step up to your son or your daughter or people and say, look, I want to know what's going on with this computer. And say, I care about you. And if they have a gambling problem, or any of you say, hey, I want to talk to you about that. And if you need help and you see that they're taking money when they shouldn't, or putting a lot of money on credit cards, or running with the wrong people
mm-hmm.
that may be into gambling and things like that, you just need to say, hey, let's sit down and talk about this. You have to build a relationship and let them know you love your kids, or anybody that has a gambling problem. You're not condemning them. You're not putting them down. Anybody can have this, like alcohol or drugs. It's just another problem that's hidden, and so it has to be opened up. So you have to talk to people and say, hey, I'm here to help you. I'm here to help you.
Help you. That's good, Tommy. So what if we have some people listening today, adults who say, I'm addicted to gambling. I confess that. I don't know how to get free. Or my son or daughter is addicted, and I need to help them. What is the remedy? What's the solution, Tommy?
Well, in my opinion, personally, any kind of addiction, whatever it is, if you replace that addiction by spending time in the Word of God, instead of sitting around thinking about doing something or wanting, just open the Bible and start reading the Word of God. It's amazing how these promises are for all of us and how they'll keep us free. We can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. Yeah. And it's amazing when you read that word, how strong you get. Instead of that temptation of wanting to go do something, all of a sudden you'll have the strength not to want to do it anymore.
Yeah. Well, I know it's a... go ahead.
There's a book. I want to tell you, there's a book, Turning the Tables on Gambling by Gregory Jantz. And he has a clinic, and it's a Christian-based clinic out in Seattle, Washington, that has more success with gambling addicts and pathological gamblers as far as any kind of programming, which also involves Jesus, than any place I've ever seen in my life.
Okay, the name of the book and the author again?
Okay, it's Dr. Gregory Jantz, J-A-N-T-Z, and the book, Turning the Tables on Gambling.
Okay. Turning the Tables on Dan.
And it talks about every situation.
Okay, that'll be good. We'll recommend. And you also, Tommy, you also have Facebook. I think you have some social media sites, don't you?
Yes. What we do is we produce radio programs like yours and put them on Facebook and TV shows and all that deal with different subjects and all. So we're on all the social media. Yes, we are.
Okay, just Tommy Thomas. Is that what they do? Google
it's our Facebook, And my wife does the Facebook. She's always putting scriptures and videos and all to encourage people in the Lord. And our Facebook is Tommy Latrice Wilson Thomas. So Latrice Wilson's her name, Tommy Thomas, Tommy Latrice Wilson Thomas. And our website is How, howbeat odds.com. And it has things there to help people with gambling and tell situations and stories about my dad and I.
Howtobeattheodds.com. Howtobeattheodds.com.
Yes, sir. Yes,
wow.
Sir.
Well, I appreciate you being on with me today and enlightening people concerning the gambling industry. And I really appreciate you warning parents, because children are looking to see what they're doing as far as gambling, even buying lottery tickets, because I know that what adults do in moderation, their children will do in excess. So this is a warning about Christians being involved in any sort of gambling, because it can lead to serious situations. Tommy, I want you to I really appreciate you being on today. I trust that people will go to your Facebook page and your website, howtobeattheodds.com, Tommy Latrice Wilson Thomas. But I want you to pray for people that are being enlightened about gambling as this gambling issue begins to make headlines again. And I want you to pray for people that are addicted. I want you to pray. However the Holy Spirit leads you, Tommy, you go for it. I'll play some worship music and you pray.
All right. Okay, Dale. I'd like to pray for everyone listening to this program right now. We can all get caught up in addictions and things that are destroying our lives, and all of a sudden we find ourselves doing things we never realized we'd even do again. But God has a solution and an answer to every one of these problems. And that problem is Jesus died on that cross for every one of us so that we can be set free. His blood forgives us for all sins, past, present, and future. And he wants us to walk in total freedom. And that's a process. And that process is a process of discipleship, to go through discipleship after we're born again. And as we begin to learn the Word of God and study the Word of God, I'm praying right now that you'll have a hunger to get into God's Word and study the Word of God for yourself and apply God's promises and principles to your life. I know that they work for mine, and I'm praying that they'll work for your life and that you'll be willing to do that. If you find yourself in a situation where you think there's no way out, God always has a way out. All things are possible with him who believes. God's waiting for you. He's got an answer for every situation or problem, and I'm praying right now, if the powers of darkness have invaded your life and the Satan's embodied your mind and you have these thoughts coming in all the time, I'm praying right now in Jesus' name, you have the authority to tell those demons and powers of darkness to get out of your life.
Yes,
they have no right to be in your life. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus came for life and life more abundantly.
Yes.
He wants you to be free from every addiction and have an abundant life following him. And he has an answer to every one of our problems. He is love. God is love. God loves all of us. So turn your heart toward God. And when something's taking you away from God, say, God, I want your will, not my will. So I'll no longer be double-minded. I'll be doing your will, not mine, so I can be emotionally stable and happy each and every day of my life. And if you fall back the next day, his mercies are new every day. Start up every day. God, I missed it yesterday, but I'm going to do better today. I'm going to trust you, Lord. I'm going to follow you. I know the steps of the righteous are guided, and you've got them laid out there for me. I'm going to follow you today. I want your plan for my life, Lord. Help me to do it, Lord. Holy Spirit, you live in me, the willing to do, Holy Spirit. Help me, guide me, teach me. Help me to stay free from every addiction and eyes to be open. Anyone around me, family or friends, help me to recognize and see and be able to reach out and help them. Teenagers, children, friends, whoever it is, help me to be able to help others. In Jesus' name, amen.
Tommy, thank you very much for being on. And this program, we repeat it at 2 o'clock, 5 o'clock, 10 o'clock. Keep spreading the message. I'm really proud of you, Tommy. I sure love you.
Love you, brother. Thank you for having me.
All right. Bye-bye.
This is BPNRadio.com, your 24-hour internet prayer station, calling America to pray. A member of the Breakout Prayer Network. Let's pray, America.
Okay, we're setting ourselves in agreement with Tommy Thomas concerning those that are addicted to gambling and the incredible dangers of gambling and the awful consequences that can happen. I'll never forget my dad years ago in Comanche, Oklahoma. He had a service station there right across the street. Was a big grocery store. And one night the owner went and gambled away his grocery store. All of his, everything he'd worked for, livelihood. Somebody came in, took over the grocery store. You can lose it all in a day or night by gambling. So we're praying for those of you that are addicted. And we're also praying special warnings concerning gambling. As you listen to BPNRadio.com, let's pray, America.
Hi, this is Ian Kieber reminding you to join us for Marketplace Saturdays. Marketplace Saturdays is full of information, motivation, inspiration, and business tips that will help you grow in whatever field you come from. Now, whether you're a small business owner or an employee looking to grow and learn more, Marketplace Saturday is for you. Join Rick Gentry, the host of Marketplace Saturdays, from 8 a.m. to midnight Central Standard Time, where you can learn from the best. Marketplace Saturdays, where leaders go to grow.
Okay, praying for all you business people here on BPNRadio.com. And we have 15 hours of broadcasting. For those of you that are in business, for those of you who want to get started in business, we speak a blessing upon you. And I believe that God is calling people into business to finance the end time world harvest. You got to realize in America, we have an incredible window of opportunity. I don't know how long the window is going to stay open, but we need to be alert, Christians. We need to be alert. And there are some of you that have great business gifts, talents, abilities, and we want to help you. And we have people on every Saturday that want to give back. They've been successful in business, and they want to help others get started. So listen, if you will. Oh, wow. We got so much going on today, and appreciate Tommy Thomas being on with us today. Wow. We had an incredible day yesterday on Prophetic Tuesday. Ruth Gentry and Allison Kieber joined me. I don't know. We've had maybe 1,500 views on yesterday's program. And Allison will be back on at noon tomorrow with Prophetic Thursday. Don't forget, today, Delvin Kinzer will follow this program with the news, and then Roy Beard will be on at 11:55 with a word from the wall. Don't forget, at noon today, from 12 to 1 o'clock, is corporate prayer with Forest Hill Trinity Christian Center, Forest Hill, Louisiana. Dr. David and Yvonne Remedios lead that every Wednesday at noon, 1 hour of corporate prayer here on BPNRadio.com. And then Callie Hargraves is on at 1 and 7 with her special program, Warrior Women. So we have great programming. Bubby Hudson, who feeds the poor, thousands and thousands of people he feeds every year. And I think about 1,500 people a week he feeds there in Wichita, Kansas. He'll be on today, and I'll be talking to him on a classic interview. You're on BPNRadio.com. We're praying today for Israel, and I have a report here in a few minutes. It's good to have one of my spiritual daughters reporting in from Africa. And we're praying today for those of you that are in a transition. And I know that my spiritual son and daughter, Jamie and Leah Peters, there in Malawi, are making a transition. And sometimes, you know, most transitions are difficult, but sometimes they are necessary. So Leah's going to give an update on their transition. Then we're going to pray for those of you that are seeking the will of God. Believe that God is transitioning you into a new season. So here is Leah Peters, and then we'll be back to pray. Okay, we're going to get Leah on here in just a moment. Some of these things take time. So one moment, and then we'll have her on. All right, here we go. Leah Peters from Africa.
Good morning. This is Leah Peters coming to you from Blantyre, Malawi, with Africa and Beyond. I know I said last time I was going to try to come to you from Bujumbura, Burundi, but things were just so very hectic over the Easter time. We had so much going on, and it's actually what I wanted to talk to you about today and encourage you on about the will of God. You know, we always... In the church world, there's a phrase that's coined. I know many of you, if not all of you, know it. When somebody from the front will say that God is good, and then the congregation will reply all the time, and then the leader will say God all the time, and again will respond, God is good. And I think that we say that just without even thinking about the will of God and how good it is for us, because God's will for us is relentlessly good. He's relentless in his pursuit of being good to us. And even though the things that happen to us or the ways that he leads us in aren't always understandable with our minds, if we really believe that God is good and that he seeks after our good and well-being relentlessly, then following what he says shouldn't be such a trial for us. I remember in the early days following the Lord, you know, we'd spend so much time agonizing. Is this what God wants me to do? And I don't know the... And, you know, you almost feel like you had to cut yourself with glass to find out what God was saying and what he was wanting for you to do or for us to do as a couple or family. But as time has gone by and I've followed the Father in his footsteps and in the ways that he wants me to go, most of the time I don't really understand what's going on. In fact, I would say all the time until after the fact you can look back and say, oh, that's what you were doing, God. Okay, I got that. I understand. Romans 11:33 in the Rotherham translation says, "Oh, the depths of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable his judgments," and listen to this, I love this, "and untraceable his ways." It's impossible to connect the dots beforehand when you're following the Lord. It really is. You can't figure out one thing to the next because he has things, he's juggling the universe in his hands, and it's not even a problem to him. I have a picture of him sitting up in heaven in his sitting room. And just the universe is all getting done and taken care of, and he's carrying on conversation with the saints of old, and nothing's wearing him out or making him sweat. And as he's not worried, neither should we be. And I came to Blantyre 2 years ago with my husband and daughter, thinking, okay, we're going to plant another church, going to be here for a while. Knew that Blantyre wasn't the final resting spot, but felt, you know, going to be here a while. And a year ago, my world got rocked. Because a phone call, a WhatsApp phone call from our pastors in Central Africa, Bujumbura, Burundi, actually technically still East Africa, called us and said, "We feel compelled that we need to go to Kinshasa, DRC, the Democratic Republic of Congo, on the west coast of Africa and plant a church." Well, after much prayer and talking with leadership, you know, here on the continent as well as overseas and trusted colleagues and leaders, we just have a mandate from God to return to Bujumbura, where we started a church, our first church plant in 1992. Before that, we were working under the Hagemeyers, Ralph and Shirley Hagemeyer, of Bible Outreach Ministries in Kalemi, Congo, DRC. And we have almost this inability to do anything else except go back to Bujumbura. And in the meanwhile, since Easter Sunday, we traveled to Bujumbura, announced it to the church, and traveled then back to Lilongwe, Malawi, where we have our central church is there in this country, and announced it there. And then the day before yesterday, on April 15th, we announced it here in Malawi and installed our local pastor here, which was a holy event. I never tire of the Lord using us. I don't know why he uses us to do this, but he does. And I'm so thankful he does, because it's so holy to see someone launched into their destiny and released into a pastor. And so we did that on Sunday. And now what remains for us is to tie up loose ends here in Blantyre and make the journey back to Bujumbura, where we were so many years ago. I've never had a desire to go back. Once we release churches, we release them. And just the the inability to think of anything else is witness in my heart that we're on the right path. When we landed for our visit a couple of weeks ago, I felt, okay, we're home. And it makes no sense because the work here in Malawi is going so well. It's so healthy. If we were to do anything else here in Malawi, I think we'd go up north and go up into the northern region and plant churches up in the north. But God has put a mandate on our lives. And as Romans 11:33 says in the Rotherham, his ways are untraceable. We just can't figure out what he's doing. And it's not that he has lost his mind. It's not that he doesn't know what he's doing. It is that he knows what he's doing more than we do. I can't figure it out. And now that I've walked with him for a while, I really accept the fact that his ways are better than mine. I had an idea here in Blantyre when we came of what I wanted to do, and it didn't pan out. And you know what? For the first time, I'm not depressed about it. Because I'm now to the point of, I'm really glad that my plans didn't pan out, that it didn't become what I thought it should be, but it's becoming what God thought it should be, that God had a man and a woman, a husband and wife, leaders, ready to take this church, who just needed a time with us to grow. The couple that God has given to us here are not novices, and they have joined themselves to us as sons in the house. And we're just so thankful for the opportunity to see this happen again. But it has begun, the manic stage of trying to liquidate household goods and make that move has begun. People, once they hear in this side of the world, when you people hear that you're leaving, they want to know exactly what you have and what are you selling. And we're giving a lot of things to the church, both churches up in Lilongwe and here down here in Blantyre. But we are selling a few things to try to give us a little bit of funding to set up in Bujumbura, Burundi, because shipping is just out of the question. And so we've donated everything from our container that we had things shipped over into desks for the school and a solar system that the church is going to use for the school and the church as well for many wonderful things. Actually, the church up in Lilongwe will use that. So many wonderful things happening, but I can't trace his ways. He's wonderful. He's good. He's always got the best for us in mind, and I want to encourage you in that today. God's will for you and for me, it's relentlessly good, and when it doesn't make sense, it's still good. When you haven't done what you felt like you should do, it's still good, and you can laugh at yourself and say, well, I didn't get that one totally right this time. And it may be the things that are in your heart are for another time and another place, which it is for me. And that's fine. I'm just going to flow because God's ways are unsearchable. So coming to you from Blantyre, Malawi, only for another few weeks. We'll be off by the end of May, beginning of June. And let's see where this adventure takes us. Lots of love and blessings to you all.
Okay, thank you very much. Thank you very much, Leah Peters there in Malawi, Blantyre, Malawi, Africa, as they are about to transition back to a place that they were years ago, Bujumbura, Burundi. And I had the privilege of going there and ministering for them as they dedicated a new church building several years ago. Also had the privilege of being invited to the presidential palace, and where I gave prophetic words to the president of the nation of Burundi, and also his vice president and former president's wife, several of his cabinet members. It was an unforgettable night there in Bujumbura, Burundi, that nation of 8 million people. And the president himself escorted me to the gate. When I left, he said, let's stay in touch, and I was really blessed. And so we stayed in touch for quite some time. I tell the story about my visit to Bujumbura, Burundi, and it's free by going to letsprayamerica.com and clicking on resources. And the book is God Assignments: How to Start, How to Finish. So letsprayamerica.com, God Assignments: How to Start, How to Finish. You can read my book. It's a prophetic book, but it features the story of my ministry time, my journey there to Burundi, Africa, and my ministry to the president and his family that evening. And I know the entire book will be encouraging. And, of course, I want us to pray right now for Jamie and Leah Peters, who's been on this broadcast several times and even been in the studio here live. So we're going to pray for them right now. And all of you that are in the process of making a transition, or you feel that you're in some type of transition and you don't understand it. That's why the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 3, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Don't lean to your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Depart from evil. And so, Father, I just pray for everyone, including Jamie and Leah Peters there in Malawi, who's transitioning to Burundi, Africa. I pray for a successful transition as they have sown seed there, and that ministry will continue. They're believing God for 1,000 churches to be planted on the continent of Africa, and I set myself in agreement with them. So they're going back to make their headquarters in Bujumbura, Burundi, where they spent several years. Father, bless them, and I pray for every person that is listening today to bpnradio.com. They feel like there's a transition coming their way. There's something stirring in their spirit. I pray for them right now. I pray your will, plan, and purpose be done. And Lord, I know that when your will and your timing kiss each other, that is so perfect. So help us, Lord, to know what you desire to do and to know the proper timing. I pray the will, plan, and purpose of God for everyone that is listening today here on bpnradio.com that may be in transition. I bless them right now, God, and I'm asking, Lord, that you bless them. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. We're going to have a report from Israel here in just a moment. But as we get Debbie on the phone to get a report from Israel, we're going to sing about the Holy City. So excited about the dedication that we brought live on bpnradio.com Tuesday, or Monday it was. Here's John Starnes with the Holy City.
I had a dream so fair. I stood in old Jerusalem beside the temple there. I heard the children singing and ever as they sang, I thought the voice of angels from heaven in answer rang. I thought the voice of angels from heaven in answer rang. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, heart.
Hello.
Hello, Dale.
Yes, is this Debbie?
Yes, it is.
Oh, it's good. Welcome to bpnradio.com. You're on the you're on the air live right now here on bpnradio.com. And I wanted to get an update from Israel to see what's happening there. I know it's been a very historic week, but also there's a lot of violence erupting. So we need a report from boots on the ground. Thank you for being a reporter here for bpnradio.com. And where are you at right now?
I just arrived in the States yesterday. And a reason why I'm here, I want to explain to the reader, to the listeners, because it's very important of what's going on in Israel. Number one, what's currently going on is really it's more Gaza and the Day of Rage that's causing trouble right now. You know, you really have to pray to walk down the streets of Jerusalem and in that area, you know what I mean? Because they're really, really mad about the embassies moving. But the IDF is out in strength, in full force. Mm-hmm. They're prepared for it. I would like to share a person that worked for LL Airlines that was getting me through the airport. through security and everything, he said something that was very chilling. So I want to share that with the listeners. He was talking about the embassy moving, and I said yes, and I said, you know, I guess, you know, really Trump has surprised everyone. And he said, well, when it came to the election, we didn't want him elected. We didn't know what he was going to do. But, you know, we were hoping for somebody other than the two people that were up, you know, for you to vote for. And I said, yeah, that's the way I felt. And he said, now it looks like Trump could be our Messiah.
Well, that's amazing. That's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, it's quite a turnaround. I just wanted to share that because that was sort of a chilling remark, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So the attitude in Israel, the IDF, they don't care if America is supporting them or what. They have to go in defending Israel with the attitude, we have the greatest army in the world, and God is our defense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I talk to soldiers, that is their attitude. If America wants to help us, good, that's better for them, you know, and otherwise we can do it ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And this is their attitude. But I mean, truly, it is the situation. I believe this whole embassy move is causing a stirring, you know, with the countries that are going to move with us, like Guatemala. Okay, God bless Guatemala. They're standing with us.
Mm-hmm.
So it's causing a spirit realm divide on who's going to be blessed and who, you know what I mean, who can be blessed more. And I, you know, I thank God for what's going on with that. A lot of different movements have been taking place. I shared one with you that can't be put on the air. There's major things that IDF are doing to defend themselves. They're very creative and they're very smart at what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So please keep the residents of Jerusalem, especially, and of Judea and Samaria and around the Gaza Strip in prayer, because they are in danger.
Mm-hmm.
But why I'm back in the States temporarily is an item that needs to be prayed for. The last thing I led you guys in prayer for about Damascus, I do want to share this, is that I got a report from my inside source that within the first 2 weeks after I prayed with the International Prayer Network on here, I have confirmed reports of over 10,000 people in Damascus having visions of Jesus.
Wow.
And you can imagine how much more have had them that I don't know about. So what we pray for is very important. So we need to continue praying for the innocent victims in Syria.
Mm-hmm.
We need to continue praying for, you know, the innocent. The Lord even showed me, you know, looking at the Russian army that's sitting there, how many of those boys were drafted.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't a choice.
Right.
So we need to be praying for them as well. You know what I mean? Because they're pushed into that. They're forced into it.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to be praying for them as well, because there's somebody's, you know, boys. There's somebody's child.
Yes.
And, of course, they're the children of God.
Yes.
So we need to pray for them. But what's going on is a massive harassment of believers in Israel. I have a friend. I met a lady who is a new citizen. And she just made Aliyah. And she said it is now written into the agreement that within the first 3 years of you living in Israel, if you're found out to be messianic, you automatically lose your citizenship and you're out of the country.
Wow.
So harassment is going on. I know of a family. I have dear friends. They got married in Israel. They've had 5 children in Israel. They have countless grandchildren. And the Ministry of Interior is going to court and trying to get all of their citizenship revoked and then kicked out of the country.
Mm-hmm.
This is massive.
Mm-hmm.
For me, I had difficulty with my paperwork through the system here, and it was held up. And because of that, I had to come back to the States for another visit. I have to try to get it straightened up, because once I get it straightened up, then I'm back in the country for 2 years.
How long, Debbie, how long have you been in Israel?
This time, I was in Israel before. This time, I've been in Israel since December 11th, 2016.
Okay. And you first, you first moved to Israel when? What year?
The end of 2014.
Wow. Well, I know that God has put Israel in your heart, and I know you're living in a very historic place. And I'm thankful that we can have you on from time to time, sharing, giving us up-to-date reports on what is happening. And I know that that you have left Israel a very historic time, and we are praying. We're praying for Israel. We're praying for the peace of Jerusalem. And I know that that they are under a lot of death threats there. Is there a lot of fear in the country?
Amongst the citizens, no. Amongst the citizens. I had friends visiting from the States, and they said, I can't believe how calm people are. Mm-hmm. They don't talk about the war. I said, they're used to it. They're mm-hmm. used to it. Mm-hmm. They've been through this many, many times before, and their attitude is, let the IDF do their job. You know, mm-hmm. and in a way, it's almost frightening that they aren't more concerned. You feel like, you know, life is just going on, and you know, they're just used to it. It's more of like a subconscious, you know, tension that you feel, but they really have learned to live their lives and continue mm-hmm. living.
Yeah.
So I just wanted your network to know what really needs to be prayed over. Immigration needs to be prayed over, because if the Messianic Jews deserve to be able to go back home too. Do you understand what I mean? They deserve mm-hmm. to be able to come back to Israel. Mm-hmm. And it's a fight in the spirit realm, Dale. It's beyond that. It's a fight to on the enemy's part to keep those that can truly pray for that and intercede for that country to try to keep us out. I'll be back there in a couple of months. I just have to straighten out some paperwork issues, and I got to go back. I'm holding to the word that you personally delivered to me, that I was there for the long haul, and that's what I'm holding to. So
mm-hmm.
I would appreciate everybody's prayers for this, for the tide to be turned in the Ministry of Interior. It needs to be turned. They're harassing people. They're harassing people, and it needs to stop. I mean, good, honest, hardworking Israeli citizens are being harassed. Some people tend to think that it's also part of their way of keeping people out during war, that they don't want to have to try to take care of and protect.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand that. Now, and me, I need to get back there, because if the big war breaks out and I'm not there, they're not going to treat me with respect. Mm-hmm. I have to be there during war for them to take me seriously.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, that's what's going on.
Father, I pray right now for Debbie. I thank you for our reporter from Israel. I set myself in agreement with her and those that are listening here today on bpnradio.com, the Breakout Prayer Network, concerning the protection of Israel, concerning the peace of Jerusalem, concerning the harassment of some people that are there in Israel, concerning their stay there, their tenure there. I ask, O God, that you would protect those that are supposed to be there, those that are there from America. I pray that you would watch over them, protect them, give them favor, give Debbie favor with her paperwork as she makes a reentry to Israel in a few weeks. I pray for the situation going on in Syria. I pray concerning Hamas's attack against Israel. I pray concerning Iran's threats and attacks against Israel as well as Russia. I ask, O God, that you would minister in this situation. We set ourselves in agreement, Lord, because we know that you are the keeper of Israel. I speak favor upon Debbie, your blessings upon her life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Debbie, keep us posted, if you will, okay? Keep us posted on what's going on. Okay, bless you. Thank you for being... Thank you for being on today.
Thank you.
Okay, Tom Autry, my friend, is going to sing Keeper of Israel. This is going to be a blessing to you. Thank you for listening to bpnradio.com. You're on the Wednesday Watch.
I'm going to lift up my eyes.
That song, Tom Autry, my friend from Fort Worth, Texas, Keeper of Israel. We just we know that you're keeping Israel. We know that you're keeping us. We say God bless Israel, God bless America. Well, you know that I'm just going out on special events now. Gene and I, we are leading Breakout Radio Church every Sunday morning, 8 a.m. and 10 a.m. for those that may not have a church home or a pastor. And that's on bpnradio.com. This Sunday, we have two special events that are scheduled. Sunday morning at 10:30, we are going to be at the Epicenter, and that is in Sugar Land, Texas, the Epicenter for the dedication of their new remodeled facility. Easy and Lena Jones, who've been our friends for many years, I gave a prophetic word years ago about them moving into this building, and here they are. So this Sunday morning, the 20th, what is Sunday? The 20th, 21st, we'll be there. And if you're in the area, you can attend. That's, of course, May the 20th, 10:30 a.m. at the Epicenter in Sugar Land, Texas, where Easy and Lena Jones are leading that church. And if you want to get more information, all you have to do is go to Epicenter, that's Epicenter.life, Epicenter.life, and you can get the information, the location, et cetera, et cetera. That'll be 10:30 this Sunday morning. And then this Sunday evening, we'll have another special event, and Gene and I will be ministering at a church we've been to many times, and that is Celebration of Life, Baytown, Texas. 120 South Alexander Drive. 120 South Alexander Drive in Baytown, Texas. And that service starts at 6 o'clock Sunday evening. A prophetic service. It's going to be great. And if you want to find out more about the church, you simply go to, let me get that for you. It's Celebration of Life in Baytown, Texas. And the website. I'm getting the website for you. Hang on one moment, please, for the website there, because I'm getting it right now. The website is colbaytown.com. 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 And so that will be this Sunday evening. We'll be there at 6 o'clock. Todd and Cindy Morning and Callie Hargraves. Speaking of Callie Hargraves, she is going to be on today at 1 o'clock and 7 o'clock. Well, we are a station that is committed to prayer, because we know the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous person availeth much. And so we're all about prayer. We talk about different subjects, but we all end up with prayer. And that, of course, is what we're doing here today and each and every day here on bpnradio.com. We're talking about prayer. And if you need prayer, all you have to do, if you need prayer, is call our prayer line. I'm going to give you that telephone number, 979-596-0195. That's 979-596-0195. That is a wrong number. Sorry about that. The prayer line number, I'm going to start over, 918-865-4305. All right, this is the correct number, 918-865-4305. And if you'd like to send your prayer request in by email, it's bpnprayerrequest@gmail.com. bpnprayerrequest@gmail.com. And Cheryl Ortiz, our national prayer coordinator, she will take that prayer request, send it out to our national prayer team, and they will be praying for you. And we just want to say a great big thanks to all of our sponsors here on bpnradio.com, the business people that are helping sponsor this, and as well as churches that are helping sponsor the Breakout Prayer Network. And we are very, very thankful, and we are very, very grateful for all of our sponsorship. Just want to briefly mention before we go, churches that are helping sponsor BPNRadio.com, the Breakout Prayer Network, Abundant Life Fellowship in Liberal, Kansas, the Gate Church in Oklahoma City, Destiny Christian Center, Oklahoma City, Austin Cathedral, Austin, Texas, Gateway Church, Roswell, New Mexico, Celebration of Life, Baytown, Texas, Mountain Harvest Worship Center, Hendersonville, North Carolina, Generation Jesus Epicenter, Sugarland, Texas, Trinity Church International, Lake Worth, Florida, Trinity Christian Center, Forest Hill, Louisiana, Church of the Hills, Ingram, Texas. I do want to say, give a big shout out to businesses that are helping sponsor the Breakout Prayer Network, bpnradio.com, Tri-County Equipment, Kearney, Oklahoma, Best Western, Wesley Inn and Suites in Gig Harbor, Washington, Andy and Karen Edwards, Independent Advocare Distributors, Jim and Debbie Wagey and their McDonald's stores in the Kansas City, Missouri area, G&B Services in Dallas, Texas, Cindy Raby Interiors in Oklahoma City, Doug Ahart, Solid Business Solutions in Houston and Austin, Texas, and others that are helping sponsor and support. And if you would like to be a monthly sponsor or like to give a one-time contribution, you can just go to bpnradio.com, bpnradio.com, and you can click on the donate button. Click on the donate button, and you can use your PayPal, you can use your credit card, you can use your debit card, your PayPal credit card, debit card. Your gifts are tax deductible, or if you want to send a check, you make your check payable to Breakout Ministries. That's Breakout Ministries, and the address is P.O. Box 91985. That's P.O. Box 91985, Austin, Texas 78709. P.O. Box 91985, Austin, Texas 78709. We would be so very, very thankful and grateful for your contributions, for partnering with us monthly as we call America to pray. We're praying for revivals in every major town and city. We're praying for another spiritual awakening. So very, very thankful to have you listening on BPN Radio. Around the clock and around the globe we go. Tell your friends about this prayer network, if you will. And you can be a part of the Breakout Prayer Network by going to letsprayamerica.com. That's letsprayamerica.com. And signing up there, you'll receive one of my daily prayers that I've been sending out for 5 or 6 years. And you can be a part of the Breakout Prayer Network. We are so very, very thankful and grateful for your sponsorship, for listening today. Continue to listen. Delvin Kinzer, our award-winning news director, is next with the news. Roy Beard at 11:55. And we have Forest Hill, Louisiana, the Trinity Christian Center with corporate prayer. Kelly Hargraves at 1. It continues on throughout the day. And don't forget, Allison Kieber's on tomorrow at noon with another Prophetic Thursday. Rhonda Kinzer on Friday with special prayer time on bpnradio.com as well as Facebook Live. Thanks for listening as we continue here on bpnradio.com.
You've been listening to BPN Radio with Dale Gentry, your 24-hour internet prayer station. Tell your friends around the world to listen to this hourly broadcast as we pray for a revival in America, another spiritual awakening. Remember, as America goes, so goes the world. BPN Radio is sponsored by you, their loyal listeners and prayer partners. To donate to this network, click on the donate button on our website at www.bpnradio.com. Remember that your contributions are tax deductible. Tune in at the same time or any time, day or night, to pray with Dale Gentry.
If tomorrow all the things were gone, I'd work for all my life, and I had to start again with just my children and my wife. I thank my lucky stars to be living here today, 'cause the flag still stands for freedom and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American, and I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains of Texas, from sea to shining sea, from Detroit down to Houston and New York to L.A., well, there's pride in every American heart, and it's time we stand and say, I'm proud.
an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today. 'Cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA.
Pulled me close and held me near. And I'm a fool, but still you love. I'll be the fool for the king of love. You gave me wings so I could fly, and gave me a song to color the sky. And all I have is all from you, and all I want is all of you. It's grace, grace, I'm nothing without you. And there have been days when I've walked away, too much to carry, nothing left to say. Forgive me, Lord, when I'm weak and lost. You traded heaven for a wooden cross. And all these years you've carried me. You've been my eyes when I couldn't see. And beauty grows in the driving rain. You're oil of gladness in the times of pain. Your grace, grace, I'm nothing without you. Your grace shines on me. walls and held me near. And I'm a fool, but still you love. I'll be a fool for the King of Love.
The word tells us to enter into thy closet and shut thy door. Now, closet in the original Greek means bedchamber. These are the times when we enter into that intimacy, our recreated spirit with the Holy Spirit of God, and have that relationship. And then life comes forth. And thank God for the chamber experience. In the chamber.
Father, I worship you out of my spirit. Blessing and thanking you in our own way. Your heart I covet, Lord, your will and purpose. So into submission I surrender this day. Into the chamber, speak through me gently as I close the door. Heavenly lover, let thy presence cover. Shekinah unending is all I long for. Now on my pathway, the wine press falls heavy, but bringing forth only the best of the wine. So I press toward the mark for the prize of high calling, to be a part of that beautiful lady and bride. Into the chamber, be free, Holy Spirit, speak through me gently as I close the door. Heavenly lover, let thy presence cover. Shekinah unending is all.